Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. Let's pray. Father, we just pray this afternoon that you touch each grandparent here in the sanctuary, those that are online also. We thank you for the words that come from your scriptures to encourage us, to challenge us, and to remind us of the responsibility that we have because of the privilege that you've given us. We glorify and lift up your name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Keep in mind, grandparents, after the service, we do have something special for you, prepared for you, so you can have that before you leave. I was looking at a few things this past week, and since I became a grandparent, I began to look at what people think makes a good grandparent. I began to read things and listen to things as grandparents talked about their responsibility. And one of the things I remember reading from Deborah Haddix, and she wrote through doing research, that it shows that other than parents, grandparents have the most influence over children. Other than parents, and I was so surprised because we think that friends, we think that, you know, those that are close to them, they go to school with them. But it's the grandparents that have the most influence because the grandparents outlast the friends. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
The very friends that they think they can't do without during those teenage years, that those friends go on so many different areas, so many different places. But the grandparents, the impact that the grandparents would have on children's lives definitely impact them. I want to look at a few grandparents in scripture this afternoon, and I want us to consider our responsibility as grandparents and what we pass on to our children, but also our grandchildren. The first person I want to talk about is in Genesis chapter 5, and the Bible speaks of Enoch. Enoch was the grandfather of Lamech and the great-grandfather of Noah. It is said that Enoch walked with God. He had such a relationship with God that he knew him so intimately. And now he says he walked with God for 300 years. Some of us have been 10, 15, 20, 30, you know, a few weeks of just knowing God and walking with him. But it says that Enoch walked with God for over 300 years. He was during an age of terrible corruption. It was during the age where people did not love God, did not respect God, and it got to the point where even his grandson, great-grandson, got to the point where God now was going to judge the world and save the generation of Enoch. Isn't that interesting? Enoch lived against the grain of society. He became the first man to experience something that not even Adam experienced, the true delight of walking with God. The true delight of having experience with God to the point where that was a description of his life, that he walked with God, and he learned how to commune with God. He learned that in every moment, in every circumstance, how to depend on God. He didn't shift to have his attention shifted to anywhere else or upon anyone else. He did what exactly he was purposed to do, and he walked with God. And Enoch did not die, the Bible says, that Enoch was taken up because of his walk that he had with God, because he pleased God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death." Amen. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. By faith, he pleased God. By pleasing God, by the type of relationship he had with God, the relationship that God wants to have with us, Enoch determined that this was the life he was going to live. And this grandfather, this great-grandfather, too, shares an example for us as grandparents, the relationship that we should have with God, and then the knowledge that we need to receive, that we need to pass on, the wisdom that we receive, that we need to pass on, we get that through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Enoch passed his belief onto his family, and eventually onto his great-grandson, Noah, who believed in the Lord and became the only family to be saved from the flood. The second family that I want to look at is interesting. We see Abraham and Sarah, who are grandparents. We see Isaac and Rebekah, who are grandparents. We also see Jacob, Rachel, and Leah, who are grandparents. They're first introduced in Genesis chapter 11. We meet Abram, who was told by God to go to a land that he was going to lead him to. And so he trusted God, and immediately he went, and we were introduced to him, how God spoke to him that he was going to bless him and bless his family, and his family and the nations that would come out of him would be more than the sands of the sea, more than the stars that are in the sky. And he determined that he was going to follow God, and he went, and he trusted God. And he fulfilled exactly what God wanted him to do. But we see that Abraham, after leaving and trusting God, God changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. And he became the father of many nations. And Sarah became from Sarai to Sarah. She became the mother of many nations. And we see that as they follow God and trusted him, we begin to see how their lives begin to develop. And the Bible says that Abraham gets to the place where God sent him. And then a famine came in the land. What does he do? He goes to Egypt. He goes to Egypt to get food. But on the way to Egypt, he says to his wife, when we get there, tell them what? You're my sister. He wants to deceive. He tells her, when we get there, I want you to tell them that you're my sister, because he was afraid of his life. He was following God, but he was afraid. He was following God, but it was nothing for him out of fear of his own life to deceive and want to deceive. We see that Abraham, after trusting God and hearing from the Lord that he was going to provide a child for him and Sarah, and how they waited and waited and waited on this promised child, they went out of what we would see as the normal development of him getting a child from Sarah, but he got a servant, and had a child with a servant, which became Ishmael. But they favored Isaac. You see, Abraham favored Isaac over Ishmael. They were grandparents of Jacob and Esau. The Bible says that Isaac and Rebekah become Isaac, the promised child of Abraham. They now have Isaac, and Isaac marries Rebekah, and they had twins, and these twins were Jacob and Esau. And soon after their birth, these twins, in Genesis chapter 25, we see that that they loved who? They loved Jacob. His mother loved Jacob, and the father loved Esau. Right, this passes on. All of a sudden, we see that Abraham and Sarah, who they love Isaac more than Ishmael, and now we see Isaac and Rebekah come along, and they have kids, and they're favoring one child over the other. Isaac and Rebekah, they play favorites with their sons, and they proved to be such a very dangerous game. Instead of growing up as close-knit brothers, and it causes a rift between them because the competition continued. But also the deception continues. Because all of a sudden we see with Isaac, with Jacob and Esau, the mother comes and tells Jacob, look, your brother's supposed to get the birthright, but I want you to go in and pretend you're him to deceive your father so that you can get the blessing. you can get the lesson. Do you know that with Isaac and Rebekah, that it also got to the point in Genesis chapter 26 where there was also a famine that came in the land and they were wanting to go to Egypt, and God spoke to them and said, no, don't go to Egypt, I'll provide for you. But in fear of the Philistines, what do you think Isaac did? He told his wife to tell them that you're my sister. Out of fear of his life, repeated the same pattern as his father. He never repeats the same pattern. And now we see that the children, what they experience, it's passed on. Yeah. The deception passes on. We see these two brothers who are at each other. We see these two brothers who are wrestling with each other. We see how Isaac and Rebekah, how they bless their children, but then now as it passes on, we see Jacob, now who's now trying to have Rachel, and the Bible says that as he thinks he's going in that night on his wedding night to be with Rachel, who he loves, he wakes up the next morning and finds out that it's Leah.
Yes.
The deception continues. Deception continues. Jacob thinks he's marrying the love of his life, but the deception, the trickster gets tricked. But isn't something that just happened? This was for generations past that this took place. Grandparents, we become more aware. We have to become more aware of the generational behaviors, the generational practices, the generational habits that we have held on to, that we pass on to our children and our children's children. It can be simple sayings, it can be simple habits, and sometimes we don't even know the effect of those particular things. Abraham didn't even know what he did in communicating with his son as he told the story of what took place. Isaac probably thought, this is a great idea. This is wonderful. It passes on. We have to pray to break those things off of our family line that we can see. As grandparents, around your grandchildren, you can see those patterns. You can see those things through your own children or through your grandchildren. You can see those particular patterns. We need to pray to break those things. And the cure for generational curses has always been repentance. It's always been repentance. When Israel turned from to idols and they went away from the Lord and they began to serve the gods of that particular country, that particular world, that particular society, God says, because of your sins, I'm going to visit not only that your sins and your generation, but I'm going to visit those same sins. You're going to pass on to your children and pass on to the children unless you repent and change your ways. And so we see within society, grandfather, great-grandfather went through it, grandfather went through it, now father's going through it, and father watches their sons go through it. The same thing happens, and we can be ignorant of it, but to realize that there's some things within our family that we have allowed and we have gave attention to, and we have been proud to pass on. The sayings and habits, the behaviors. But it becomes even more real when we have grandchildren. We think of the patterns in our life, and now we're seeing our grandchildren and realize, Lord, if it doesn't stop here, for generations will be repeated unless there's repentance. So God promised Israel that their sins would go upon the third or the fourth generation, but the very next verse he promised that he would show love to thousands of generations after, to those who choose to love him. Those who choose to trust him. Those who choose to put their life in his hand and to follow his commandments. In other words, God's grace lasts longer than the curse. God's grace lasts longer, 1,000 times longer than his wrath. The curse, that's the God that we serve. We go into the New Testament and we see the Bible speaks of Lois. In Timothy, as Paul is instructing Timothy to be aware of his grandmother, the impact that his grandmother made on his life. And Lois was not only the grandparent that we see in the Bible that exhibited great faith, hers, however, did not catch our attention just as it did Paul. Paul realized and saw the impact that this woman not only had on her daughter, but also on her grandson. Timothy now became a pastor. He became an elder. He became a bishop because he was the impact that his grandmother made in his life and it folded to his mother's life now transfers into his life. And Paul says, hey, don't forget what you received. There's something that has been passed on to you. You're the faith that your grandmother had, the trust that she had in the Lord, the scriptures that she depended on, that has been passed on to you. Don't forget. He talks to Timothy about this came to you through the laying on of hands, through the confirmation of others. In other words, Lois saw the importance, and she had a generational mindset that it was her responsibility to lay hands on her grandson and to bless him to do the work of the Lord. She saw it as her responsibility. She did not work hard to cultivate, not only cultivate faith in her daughter, but it didn't stop there. She saw it as a generational impact. She saw that it had to go further. She had in mind that heaven was not just going to be for her, but she wanted to ensure that not only her children, but her grandchildren, but her great-grandchildren, but her great-great-grandchildren were all going to be in heaven because of the faith that she had in Jesus Christ. See, there's a valuable lesson that we learned from Lois. The New Testament shows us this grandmother who teaches us that we need to have this generational mindset. The impact. I know we get to the point as grandparents where you think you have the kids, now it's their kids, and we don't have to worry about it. We can now live our life, right? We can now enjoy our time. We're free to go wherever we want to go. We can accumulate. We can live. And we miss the most important thing, an impact in our life. And that's the impact of the grandchildren that God has blessed us. He has spared our lives to see the day where we can bless the grandchildren. It was amazing as I watched when Melody was born and to know that each great grandparent, one on each family, was alive to bless. To bless. To know that there's this faith on each side of the family. So that it continues. It doesn't just stop here with the kids. It doesn't just stop with us as parents, but our children and our grandchildren. Because when we get to heaven, we want to see how far our prayers went, how far our faith went. And we don't stop until we die. And I almost believe that when we get to heaven, it will still be our responsibility to intercede for our grandkids. To intercede for our kids so as the scripture says, as many as the Lord shall call, it will be to them also. The Bible is clear that we are to make things known of God in our grandchildren.
Yes.
It's our responsibility to teach them. Yes, they have the parents who will teach them, but it's our responsibility as grandparents to also teach them. I remember so many times being on the boat with Papa, and as we're talking, and he's asking about the children, and he would say, I'm praying for them. You know, I'm praying for this child. I'm praying for that. I'm praying that they will succeed. I'm praying. And you know what? He diligently prayed. Amen. Diligently prayed. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, we have to take care. We have to keep diligently. We have to make sure that we do not forget the things that we have seen. Some of us have seen God move. We've seen God impact. We've gone through situations in our life. That's why, as grandparents, we should not be stressful. We've already gone through it all. We've already experienced it all. We wrote the book. We got the t-shirt. We sent the postcard. We know it. That's why they say we're wise.
Come on now.
That's why I allow the gray hair to stay so people can think I'm wise. I'm not going to color it. The barber asked me, do I want to color? I'm like, no. I want them to think I'm wise. Right? You reach the stage where the wisdom of God is before you. You're able to see things. And as a younger, stressful generation, trying to work things out, you can speak peace to trust in the Lord, for them to depend on the Lord. And the Bible says that let this not depart from your heart all your days, but make it known to your children and to your children's children. It's our responsibility to pass on to them a heritage of faith. Psalm 78, verse 4, it says, we will not hide them from their children, but tell them in coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wondrous things that he has done. Amen. To be able to say to your grandchild, don't worry about that. I'm going to pray. Yes. They know you're going to pray. They trust that you're praying for them. Grandparents, there's a great conviction that rests on us because there's a temptation for us to continue in doing the work that we think is so productive here on earth. And we miss out the reality of the biblical teaching, the biblical instructions that we're supposed to pass on to our grandkids. It's not about just having fun. It's not about just buying the presents. It's the value of a relationship with your grandchildren and each of them, that none would be lost. Yeah. None would be lost. I know this afternoon there's some of you that are grieving the loss of a grandparent. Someone who was really close, someone who took care of you, someone who walked with you, someone who maybe even introduced you to Christ. And you have an example around you of the impact that a grandparent can make on your life. And God calls you to do the same thing to your grandchild. We take lessons then from Lois. We must understand our relationship with our grandchildren. It's a priority for us. It's a priority. A place where we can not only discipline at an early age, but we pass on this heritage of faith. I heard a grandparent one time say, hey, you know, and then you just saw the grandchild and said, hey, let me just beat her and put her to bed. And I thought, I'm like, isn't that just wonderful that we're at that stage? That we can do what our grandparents did to us? Like just the reality of the privilege that we have to spend time and to pass on. Because we live in a generation where the Bible says things will get worse and things will become more challenging. Every year we see how the age gets lower and lower of the impact that it has, society has on the children. But now we have to be in more intercession for our grandchildren. And so we speak and we keep on speaking. Even when everybody hears, we keep on speaking. We speak righteousness, we speak truth, we speak character. And I know they don't want to hear it. I know they don't like it, but we don't stop speaking. You speak it over the phone, you leave a text, you speak it through the text message, you speak it through a card, you speak it through the gift. You keep bringing the same message again and again. They need to live a righteous life. And they may avoid you altogether, but keep speaking. Will time come in their lives and they'll think back on the things that you have said. And they'll remember the faith in Christ is the most important thing. So make it your responsibility as a grandparent or parent to pray for your grandchildren and pray them into the kingdom of God. Leave most of the discipline to their parents. We don't have to do that stuff anymore. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to do that anymore. And we can just focus on praying. We can just focus on loving. We can just focus on spoiling them, allowing them to know the goodness of God. But we pray and we fast because no matter what you give them, no matter what things you provide for them, we pray for them. When you're babysitting them, pray for them. When the parents aren't around, pray for them. Especially if the parents once knew the Lord and they're no longer serving the Lord, when their grandchild is in your presence, pray for them. Pray that they'll come back and bring their parents back to faith in Christ. That's the best time to do it. That's a great opportunity. And we don't stop praying. And the prayer Bible says of a righteous person is powerful and it's effective.
Yes.
More than the legacy of any other kind, the biblical legacy, the spiritual legacy, is the most important legacy to pass on to our grandchildren. It's the most important legacy. The things you buy, they maybe will last for a moment. They maybe will last for a season. They'll grow out of it. They'll fade. They'll color it and paint it. right? They'll rip it apart. They'll shove it under the bed some way. Yes, they may keep it the heirloom that they pass on generation, but it may fade. It may be forgotten. But a spiritual, a biblical legacy is what they will carry with them into eternity. We have to trust the Lord that He leads our lives. We take this responsibility of teaching, instructing, and praying for our grandchildren, leaving with them a spiritual legacy, talking about our faith, our trust in the Lord. We model that for our grandchildren. We model that for our grandchildren. We support the parents. We love the parents who we have an opportunity God has spared our life to see another generation. And so we bless them, encourage them. So I want to encourage you as grandparents to understand the importance of walking with God, the importance of understanding that their habits, their generational things that get passed on to the family, that through your repentance, your covering of the family, that your children, your grandchildren will know the decisions they also have to make, but also the importance of the biblical, the spiritual legacy that they'll take into eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you.